And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, over the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rowe, back in the saddle this morning. Ian Safar here with you. Rex Rowe doing his second three-hour radio show and basically a 12-hour span here. How we doing?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of it that way. Not doing great. You know, my Warriors are done. Maybe it. I mean, I declared them done with the dynasty a year ago, and then this year I'm like, oh, wait, we actually could do it. But I really think that this team could have won it all. I agree with Steve Kerr. I think this team could have won it. You look at these NBA playoffs. You're going to have the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Indiana Pacers, and I think the New York Knicks.
We'll see.
All advancing at the expense of, you know, injured opponents. That happens. These are wars of attrition. I mean, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it happens in the NBA too. But, like, I think all three of those teams are better than the teams that they lost to, and they, you know, they're going to lose largely because of injuries. And so I'm sad.
Tell Steph Curry to do some stretching from now on. Stretch out that hamstring a little bit.
I mean, I'd like to go back in time and say, dude, just go out one-legged and just shoot, you know?
Yeah, we really don't need you to move all that much. Just stand in the corner.
I mean, his game is like he runs like 9 miles in a game get shots. But, yeah, I don't care. You're doubled. Just, like, do the Joker, like, just turn around and throw it up there. And, I mean,
somehow it goes in.
Would have been worth a shot, yeah. So I'm sad, but at least I got some sleep last night, unlike you. So.
Yeah. Tough one for me last night. Yeah. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
What's up, guys? Doing good. Schedule release out last night, so ready to roll, huh?
Yes.
Full breakdown. Let's do it.
Schedule's out.
Win
baby.
By win.
Win by win. I talked about this
a little bit
yesterday.
It'll be quick.
It did. You know, Ian set the tone last year, Joe. The schedule came out, and Ian looked at this thing on Stilly's show and said, yeah, they're going to win about 4 games. They won 3.
Well, we have, you know, and on that show, it's a very scientific breakdown.
It is.
Of will win, should win.
Yes.
50-50, will lose, should lose.
Yeah.
Five categories.
So he's got 5 categories.
So you break them down, and you split. He's got his whole math formula, you know, Stilly math. And then there you go.
It's like a whiteboard. He just starts drawing stuff on.
What's that show?
Always Sunny.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Who is that guy? Dude, I never know that guy's name.
Charlie Day, I think, right?
Thank you.
High-pitched voice and crazy eyes in that particular scene.
Terrible bosses. No. Horrible bosses?
Horrible bosses.
Yeah. There you go. With what's his name? Who Katie has a
Sudeikis?
No, she's got the freaking poster in her office of, you know, I've talked about this. This has been a rant before.
Well, we've had a show for 5 years. You've talked about a lot of things. I'm trying to think of who she's got a poster of.
Freaking
Bateman. Oh, yeah, Jason Bateman. Yeah,
she's got a freaking post, like seriously, a full cutout of Jason Bateman, which again is why I should, and I'm glad that we talked about it pre-show meeting, bring up Alyssa Milano more often.
Yeah.
I mean, I still haven't gotten my Alyssa Milano cutout for my office.
It was interesting, yeah. It was interesting to get Izzo's thoughts on Alyssa Milano in the pre-show meeting, too. It was good stuff.
Yeah, Izzo was great in the pre-show meeting again.
He was, as always. We got a lot to get into today on the program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. Word has it, we're going to go through every individual team's schedule, the full thing, with Charles coming up at 8 o'clock.
Oh, is that right?
I'm kidding. Okay. We're not going to do that. But we will have Charles talking all things NFL.
That would take Charles 19 hours.
I was about to say, the schedule would begin to be played by the time that he was done with that. We will have Charles coming up at 8 o'clock today. We will get to an interview that Joe and PK did yesterday with Matt Hasselbeck as well. And Joe apparently survived the three-hour show with PK yesterday, so that's also good to see. Good to see.
Yeah, it was good. We did the Stilly show. It's cool to have David Reed and PK reunited. You know, as I've said, I don't like being on microphone one, which is what you do.
I think you did a good job.
Well, thanks. I did like saying, and then that was my favorite part of it. But, I had constructive criticism for Stilly, and PK, you know, got a little personal. But then apparently
he would never do that.
Yeah, I know. Then apparently Stilly was tweeting at him as the show ended. I don't know where that went. Did they have a Twitter battle?
I don't know, but I need Stilly to stop tweeting on vacation. Learn how to have a vacation. That's kind of my message to him. My goodness.
And so he
get off the Twitter machine, as Ed Orgeron would say.
I was half joking about he's hate listening on the beach, but he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Just get on vacation.
I mean, I feel bad for his girlfriend. Dude, can we relax?
The schedule is out for the Tennessee Titans, and there are no primetime games on the schedule. I said yesterday that I thought they might get one for no other reason than they drafted Cam Ward at number one overall. Vingan said three. Chase was floating around the idea of three earlier in the week, and I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. They're not getting three.
No.
They did not get one. So I overestimated the primetime games for the Titans yesterday morning, saying that they would get one. Zero primetime games for the Tennessee Titans. Joe Rex showed your reaction.
Yeah, I figured they'd get one Thursday, maybe the Vrabel game for a Thursday. Maybe that one is a Sunday night game, but it's just your typical noon game. So, yeah, pretty much tells you a state of the Titans. We just heard on
Unsportsmanlike.
Thank you. Unbreakable.
Unrelenting.
Right. Yes. That the Dolphins have five? Is that right? They just said the Dolphins have five?
I don't understand that. Yeah.
That's wild. So, but for the most part, it adds up. The Commanders have a ton. The Cowboys have a ton. And obviously the Chiefs. So, the Titans earned it. I thought they'd get one, but they've earned their spot here with no primetime games. They do have, and some of this is just where you're playing, but they do have some threes, some later games. Again, you got San Fran in there. You've got a Colts game just randomly.
Yeah, that one's weird.
You got a Cardinals game. You got a Raiders game, and you got the opener at Denver, all in the later window. So, a little more of the country gets to see the Titans in that case. So.
Thank God.
Get excited, country.
Yeah. Well, look, am I stunned that they didn't get one primetime game? No. I said it yesterday. I don't really care. I know there are some Titans fans who do care about whether or not they get primetime games. And, yeah, going to, a Sunday night game or a Monday night game is cool, right, if you're going to the stadium. So I get it. I do understand it, Titans fans being upset about that. I'm more concerned about winning. If you do some winning and Cam Ward plays well, you're not going to have to worry about that moving forward. If Cam Ward is who they hope he is, you'll get your primetime games as you move forward here.
Exactly. And some Titans fans would say, well, why the heck, why is he not attractive enough to at least get
one.
Some? Because there are sometimes a team gets a number one pick. I don't know. I don't remember did Trevor Lawrence give the Jags a bump? But there's also a difference between Trevor Lawrence, number one pick, and Cam Ward, frankly.
Yeah.
No, just in terms of perception and in terms of, attention, excitement around the league, all that stuff. But you're right.
Well, and frankly, the way that he was covered at the draft, I think, should probably tell you something, right? I realize
the Shadur angle is big.
The Shadur angle was big, and immediately as he was getting drafted, there was a Travis Hunter trade going down. So I understand all that,
yes.
And that definitely factors into it. But, this is not just us in Nashville talking about this. There have been, in the aftermath of the draft, national conversations about, nobody's really talking about Cam Ward, the number one overall pick. And I think that kind of plays into this because, and I think some of that is, frankly, where he went. The Titans, Big Joe has said this, and I largely agree with it until the Titans give people a reason not to agree with it, and that is outside of the little bubble of Nashville, Tennessee, there's not a whole lot of people around the country that care about the Tennessee Titans, and it's up to the Tennessee Titans to change that.
Yeah, and look, we were talking, you and I were talking before the show, too. If you just go, just by size of fan base, you're probably going Titans, Jags. It's the newer franchises. I would probably put Cardinals and, Panthers. Ian brought up Panthers. As obviously these are newer franchises. So the Panthers and Jags are about 30 years old. Titans have been here 25 years. Those are just way smaller than you think about some of these massive NFL fan bases.
Yep.
So Texter says Saints, Browns, Titans got none.
I'm not surprised about the Saints.
Yeah.
Surprises me
I'm a little surprised by the Browns.
Yep.
A little bit. Trevor says Falcons also have five, really.
Yeah, they do.
Falcons have five. My goodness. Lions, I guess Lions technically have six if you're counting, you know, national games, you're counting, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
But I guess that's, it's like, is it prime time or is it national games?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Two different things, I think.
Yeah. But to me, what matters is are you the only game that's being played?
I tell you what stands out to me about the Titans schedule, and I'm trying to view this through the lens of Cam Ward and how they're going to start here. I'm looking at the first three of the first four. You got at Denver, home against the LA Rams, who frankly I think are going to be pretty darn good this year. Then home against the Colts, and I don't think the Colts are going to be very good at all. And then on the road against the Texans. Those are your first four. I think three of those first four are very, very challenging for the Titans in terms of getting off to a good start. You know, Denver, we talked about yesterday because Jordan Schultz had it out there yesterday that's where the Titans were going. You're talking about one of the best defenses in the AFC, and you're going on the road in the elevation. So that's a heck of a start for the Titans. And then you come back home, and it's the Rams. You know, the Colts are what they are. We've talked about the Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson competition, which Mark Ross on our show yesterday from NFL Network basically said, yeah, if you want to call that a competition, I think it's whoever sucks the least will get in there and be the starting quarterback, which was funny. And then there's the Texans game, which, by the way, they did win on the road at Houston last year. But I look at the start of that, Joe, and I say, I can very easily see like 1-3 out of the gate for the Titans. Maybe 0-4. Who knows?
Yeah, and you look at the whole thing. It's too bad. I mean, you could look at like the very end or two of the most winnable games. You got the Saints here, and you get the game at Jacksonville. It's too bad. Like, to me, it'd be better for the Titans if like those two games could be earlier, especially real early, and you build up a little confidence. You build up, maybe you win. You know, you have a decent record, and you have a chance like going into December to still be relevant. I look at the way this schedule sets up. Again, with two of the most winnable games on the whole thing at the very end, when I don't think the games will matter anymore at all, and I just it's not a good setup for them from that perspective. I mean, I think you want this team to be as easily front loaded as possible, so that maybe you've got something going that you didn't expect into the later parts of the season.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. The Titans schedule is out. They do not have any primetime games. What do you make of that? What do you make of the way the schedule shakes out for the Titans? We'll take more of your thoughts on that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Titans schedule is out. No primetime games. Not a huge surprise, although did have people this week thinking they could get multiple primetime games. Chase started talking about three the other day, and then Vingan said three yesterday, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't think they're getting three.
Yeah, PK and I were talking to Chase yesterday before the show. I thought, did he say maybe four? Did he say three or four? He definitely said three. I'm like, yeah, no, probably not. But zero is, that's quite a slap in the face.
Zero is a slap in the face.
Not one that anyone should have been surprised. Well, should have been bracing for it.
I think one thing you have to remember in this conversation is whether it was intentional or not, like the NFL used to trot out some matchups on Thursday Night Football that people just said, oh, good, a Thursday night game. Like it was a Titans-Jags special for a while, right?
Yeah.
And, as our good friend Andrew pointed out yesterday, Amazon's spending a whole lot of money on Thursday Night Football. They're probably not doing that anymore. Like, they're not tossing out Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football anymore for Amazon.
Right. Like, it's basically – it used to be basically, okay, everybody gets one type thing, and now it's like, nope, our partners don't like that. No more insides of baby diaper uniform for the Jags.
It's bad. Chris says, I can't listen to this today. Titans have the fourth easiest schedule this year. Quit making excuses for this team starting 0-4. To which I replied, what are you talking about? The excuse is that they suck and they have a bad roster. I don't know if you noticed this, Chris, but they picked number one in the NFL draft, which means they're not very good.
Yeah, we're not making excuses. We're just anticipating that they don't win a lot of football games. Are we going to pick the whole schedule today?
I mean, we can if you want to.
I mean,
I can tell you, I can go through it. It's not going to have very many wins for the Tennessee Titans, I don't think, although I can guarantee you I'll have at least two. They're not losing to Jacksonville this year.
Okay.
I refuse to allow it to
happen. All right, we can do this real fast. Broncos.
Loss.
Loss. Rams.
Loss.
Loss. Colts at home.
Win.
Win. Texans. Loss.
Yes.
Cardinals away.
I'll go loss, but that's close.
Loss. Raiders away.
Loss.
Okay, I'll go win. I'm officially more optimistic than you. Patriots at home, October 19th. Circle that game. Mike Vrabel, that's the big one.
Win, baby. They're winning.
Win?
Yeah. I don't actually believe that. Loss.
I'm going to go loss.
Yeah.
Okay, at Colts.
Win. So I've got them at two wins now. Both Colts games.
I'm going loss. So we both have them at two wins. Chargers at home.
Loss.
Texans at home.
Loss.
Loss. Loss for me, too. Seahawks at home, I'll go win there.
I will, too.
Jags at home, I'll go win there. So there's four. So, again, like, these winnable games are at the very end of their schedule. It really stinks. You know, in terms of, like, any chance of this season being interesting late. Like, they needed the back of the schedule to be the front of the schedule. Is that the Browns?
That's the Browns. I'll go loss. Just because it's on the road.
Yeah, I can't go three straight wins.
Although that is potentially their only really bad weather game.
It really is. Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Yep. Towards the end, some home games, you know. Then you got, so, it's not bad at San Francisco in December. Not going to be terrible. So it could be worse weather-wise.
That's true. See, we found some positives. Yeah. The weather should be all right. Niners loss. Chiefs loss. We agree. Loss.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Saints at home. I'll go win.
I'll go win, too.
So is that five apiece? Yeah. We both have five?
They're beating Jacksonville again. I'll go six. There you go. Six wins.
All right, so we both.
That's first glance.
You know what? I'm gonna go loss on that one because
they are not losing to these two goobers out there. I refuse to allow it to happen.
Dude, Travis.
I don't care if they go 2-15. You better beat Jacksonville twice.
Travis Hunter,
and we
man.
Want him to be nothing more than him.
All right, so I got 5-12. You got 6-11.
Yeah.
I like being the not as optimistic. So there you go. And no one's making excuses. I will say again, like the back of the schedule, it's a bad schedule because the relevance of this team, it's just set up for this team's relevance to be diminished or gone like well before Thanksgiving.
You need to find a way. I mean, I don't think it's impossible. Like, could you find a way to get to 3-3 by the time Vrabel comes in? Right? Like, I don't give them much of a chance of winning the first two, but could you beat Indianapolis?
Cardinals,
Arizona, Raiders.
Sure, it's possible.
And get to 3-3.
That'd be great. And then have that game be a huge game.
I mean,
you know?
I kind of view that as like best case scenario. I mean, other than Cam Ward just being like by game two, you're looking around and you're saying, my God, Cam Ward's going to be in the MVP conversation this year.
Who knows? That's not impossible. That's also not impossible. You know how it is too. When we always look at schedules and think, wow, this game's really hard. And, ooh, this game's easy. And then it's. Oh, actually, the Cardinals are freaking.
Oh, but yeah,
the surprise team of the league this year, and actually the Rams are crap.
Well, we know this too. Like they will, the Titans absolutely this year will probably go out and beat somebody like the Chargers, and then they'll lose to Jacksonville or something like that. You know, it happens like that every year. So we'll see what that looks like. But it's hard for me to give them more than about 5 or 6 wins. Based on what we know of their roster right now. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. Joe, I just wondered, did you get hazard pay working that shift yesterday or anything like that?
Should have, right? Yeah, especially Kaharski's inability to do math. Did you hear the math?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Vingan? What is wrong with Vingan?
Yeah, I don't know on that one.
Is he afraid to cross Kaharski?
God, don't get me started.
Yeah, he could. According to PK, he could have Derrick Henry can get 3,500 yards in one season. So,
there was that too. We did have some math issues yesterday.
or math, right? But so, fellas, it sounds like at least the first couple games. Whenever I saw this, I feel like our offensive line is going to be tested right out the gates, and then segueing that into. How's that going to affect Cam Ward? What can a team do to help protect Cam Ward? Because, again, I don't think the roster is going to change that much. And given your all's predictions, 5-6, I don't know if there's any Callahan specials on this year's schedule, but another one. Will Callahan be the coach on October 20th, 2025 of the Tennessee Titans should they lose to the Mike Vrabel Patriots? I'll hang up. Gentlemen, have a great day, fellas.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it.
That's an interesting question.
I mean,
it'd have to be real
I think it's early enough in the season where that shouldn't really be a factor at that point. I mean, I guess the only way it would be is if they're like, you know, 1-5 or 0-6 heading into the game, and then Vrabel comes in here and just destroys them.
Yeah, it'd have to be that extreme.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I think you never know with Amy Adams Strong.
You don't. But I also feel like for all the and this is just a little bit. It's because I know that she's been very frustrated with some of the commentary on her, but also just human nature. At some point, don't you, like, try to not do these things that you've been doing?
You
I mean, again, it doesn't mean you can stop yourself. But, yeah, I think the earliness of that game probably, you know, makes it less likely that it becomes a fireable game, you know. Because, obviously, you look at that and think if Vrabel comes here and embarrasses them, then someone's got to pay.
Adam in Portland says, why are you knuckleheads talking about the Broncos like they're the 2006 Colts? Not even a chance we win that game? No Bo Nix sophomore slump? Just immediate loss?
I mean, did we say, oh, no chance, I'm just picking a loss? I don't think it's crazy to pick them to lose at Denver. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. But
I'm not really – their offense
say,
is not
oh,
really my
concern. Oh, my goodness, Denver, no way.
Yeah, I mean, look. Sean Payton, great offensive coach, obviously. Bo Nix had a really good year last year as a rookie. So they've got a chance to be pretty good offense. Denver's offense is not really my concern in that game. It's their defense, who, by the way, has the reigning defensive player of the year. And as Adam Vingan pointed out yesterday, that led the NFL in sacks last year. That's what I'm worried about for the Titans in week one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's solid defense. Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely – Bo Nix and that sophomore slump idea, I'm definitely keeping an eye on that for sure. But they're a solid team. I mean, it's a pretty good team. I mean, look, there are very few teams on this schedule where if you just line them up with the Titans, not knowing the quarterback play, that's the big variable, but that don't look superior to the Titans. Just how it is.
Yeah, again, they picked number one last year.
Yeah. Again,
they're in a bad
they
spot.
Picked number one, everybody.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 645. We'll hear from Matt Hasselbeck coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. One of the best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. Matt Hasselbeck, you'll hear a conversation that Joe and PK had with the former Titans quarterback coming up at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that. One texter says, say what you want about last season, but at least I had hope going into the season, even though it was false hope. So are we saying we don't have hope now? Because frankly, like,
you'll find it.
I mean, you'll find. I mean, yeah. First off, it's May. By the time August rolls around, there'll be some hope around here. We're gonna see some videos of Cam Ward slinging that ball around throughout the offseason here, and by the time training camp rolls around, it'll be wow, this kid's ready to go. He's ready to play. And look, maybe he is. That's where the hope comes from, right? Is, you know, he is the number one overall pick. We have seen some rookie quarterbacks come in and make immediate impacts recently. And look, we had Mark Ross from NFL Network on yesterday who came out and said, he's like, yeah, I had him. If everybody keeps talking about like where he would have gone last year in the draft if he was in that draft class. And he said, I would have had him at 3. I would have had him right behind Caleb and Jaden Daniels. And he said he would have had him ahead of Drake May. He said he believes he's the real deal. So maybe he is.
There you go.
If Cam Ward comes out there as the real deal and you get really good quarterback play – well, then all of a sudden, Joe, you start to look through the schedule and the wins become much more prevalent at that point. That's how important quarterback play is. We talked about it the other day. Like, how many more wins do the Titans have last year if the quarterback play is good? I would say probably at least 2 or 3 that you can point to right off the top of your head that they would have. So, again, the Titans got a lot of work to do with their roster. But if Cam Ward comes in and is good, then you're going to, you know, as Jake from Greenbrier on the text line points out, you could be looking toward the end of the season with some winnable games on paper on the schedule and seeing the Titans, if it goes the way that I hope it does, which is Cam Ward is continuing to get better as the year goes on and Callahan is kind of coming into his own as a coach, you could see the Titans roll off some wins at the end of the year when you're playing Jacksonville twice and New Orleans and Cleveland towards the end of the schedule.
Right, but yes, and look, and like he says, you know, 6-7 win season where you make strides offensively, thumbs up, and I agree in general with that. It's also like the way the schedule is, you're going to get to that point, and then everybody's going to be like, please stop winning. We're going to get the number one pick again. You know, but still, if you have any strides at all, then that's a positive. And by the way, Jake, I hope that we talked you out of the stupid idea that the NBA lottery was fixed. But thanks for weighing in. Also, I do want to get to this question, Robbie.
Okay.
From Mo. Will Vrabel be cheered or booed when he comes to Nashville? I think that's a fascinating question.
I don't think he's getting booed. I really don't.
Some people are going to boo him.
Well, I'm sure in a crowd of 70,000 people, there will be some that probably boo him. I'll say this, though. I'm more interested in, like, does he get cheered? Like, does, if the Titans are 1-5 or whatever it is heading into that game, and people are like, oh, Vrabel! Oh,
Vrabel!
Yes! Our guy, Vrabel! Yes! I think there's a chance that might happen.
Well, I think that's a good point. It's like, if the Titans are just in the gutter and he comes in, then it's going to be like, hey, let's make Amy feel bad again for firing him and get a chance to like show him love. And it's like it's almost more like passive aggressively, you know, showing your displeasure with Amy. But what if the Titans are like the 3-3 and it's like, ooh, they're kind of a surprise team. Cam Ward looks good. Got a chance to beat this guy.
Maybe. I mean,
you know, I think that probably dictates the reaction a little bit, is just how the team's doing.
I would love to see it. You talk about teams that are getting overhyped. Like, I think the Patriots are getting way overhyped.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think Vrabel's a good coach, and I don't think the Titans ever should have fired him. We've talked about that ad nauseum. There's no point in bringing that up again. I know they've got Drake May, and Drake May showed some good things last year. By and large, they're pretty bad last year, and I know that they spent a lot of money in free agency. I still look at their roster and say, yeah, I don't – you know, there's some people talking about them being – the second-best team in the AFC East and maybe challenging for a playoff spot, winning 9-10 games this year. And I'm like, I don't know that I see that with New England, unless Drake May is just unbelievable this year.
Yeah, he'd have to be – I mean, I like some of the stuff they've done, for sure, but I still feel like there's some clear holes on the roster. And, yeah, he'd have to – he showed some good stuff last year, but I think that's been over –
I do too.
A little bit too.
Yeah, he was fine. Yeah. Like, I thought he was good.
I could see him taking a big step.
I could too.
Like, possible.
I like Drake May. You know, we've been talking about Drake May for years at this point. So, I mean, he's always been a good prospect, and he showed some good things last year. But I think some of the Patriots talk is going a little bit overboard. It's like, I mean, I like Vrabel, and I think he's a good coach. But I think some people think that he's like, you know, Vince Lombardi coming in there.
Vince Vrabel-Barty.
Nice.
That was bad. Trevor says, does Amy even show up to that game? Wouldn't be shocked if she sat that one up. Oh, I think she'll be there. I think she'll absolutely be there. She may have, like, extra bodyguards around, like real big dudes, like, you know, glaring at Vrabel from across the field.
Hello, Mac.
Carrying her out there, you know.
I'm glad you got hired so I don't have to pay you anymore.
Oh, God. Yeah, she'll be there. No, she'll be there. If Vrabel wins, though, boy, that'll be – how does Vrabel winning here compare, you know, it in her – anger to like getting embarrassed by the Texans while wearing Oilers jerseys.
That's the thing. Like, I also think there's a difference too in like him just winning here is one thing. Like, that could be bad enough, but like, what if the Patriots come in here and just smoke them? That would be a totally different thing. Like, we got a texture that says if the Titans are 1-5 or 0-6 and the fans cheer for Vrabel, Callahan is 100% getting fired after that game.
Again, well, yeah, look. Like, if it's 0-6 and it's like, okay, so they're just hopeless and this guy just can't do it. Yeah, and then okay.
Yeah.
Then that's but it would have to be that bad.
If
they're
1-5 or 0-6 going into the New England game and they lose that game, then the conversation we're probably going to be having around here is, yeah, I don't think Ryan Callahan knows what he's doing as head coach. I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about at that point.
And then you know, unfortunately for him, you have to have the comparison. Adam who was texting up a storm today, says, F Vrabel, fart Vrabel. Just yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping the trains moving that Mike Mularkey left for you. He never wanted to be here. He's so excited he got when we went back to New England. That's where he wanted to be. Then he said some other bad words that I won't say on the air. So I don't know that he never wanted to be here. I mean, you know, obviously New England's where he played. You know, keeping the trains moving that Mike Mularkey left for you, I think you might be a little bit diminishing what Vrabel did. I think Mularkey was a good coach too, but, you know, Vrabel did a lot of stuff that I'm not attributing to Mike Mularkey. Like when he won Coach of the Year in 2021, there was really very little trace of Mike Mularkey.
Yeah, the second greatest run in the history of the franchise, yeah. In history of the, since the Titans have been here.
It's okay to hate him, but, yeah. I mean, let's have a factual assessment of him. But yeah. Still, you know, I don't want to rip Adam too much today.
Yeah. Calm down a little bit over there.
Yeah, Adam's on one today.
He is on one today.
But, I mean, I how many Titans fans actually feel that way? Like Vrabel was, you know, like just riding Mularkey's coattails. That's not accurate.
Well, I think I think we've made too much around here of, like, nationally how much people care about Mike Vrabel coming back to play against the Titans. Like, I think there's some people that thought that, well, that's guaranteed to be a prime time game. Like, yeah, I don't think the nation really cares about that all that much. We care about it, and I'm sure it'll be a big story the week of, and, you know, people will talk about it and all those things. But I don't think, like, the national NFL audience is like, oh, Vrabel's going back to Tennessee, huh? Let's go watch that. I could be wrong. I don't get that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obviously much, much bigger of a local story than than a national story. Texter says, knowing how petty Vrabel is, he show up in the Bum Phillips cowboy hat.
That would be kind of awesome.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do that.
He did that back awesome. When he and Amy were still friends, and everybody enjoyed it.
He did. That would be quite the troll from him.
That would be.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports. Coming up next, take your best and worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll hear from former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Make sure you tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores take on Kentucky. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I feel like I've been, like, way more selfish with this lately, but I don't care. The Detroit Tigers are the best team in baseball. That is my best in sports. Get excited, really? Everybody. Yes. And they just swept the Boston Red Sox. The number one play yesterday on SportsCenter was did you see this catch the Red Sox had?
I have not seen anything.
It was brought the ball back in from the wall, and then the center fielder caught it on the bounce, and yet still the Tigers won. We got Javi Baez with a 3-run bomb in the bottom of the 11th the other day to shock them down 2. And I'm very excited. It's been a long time. And Phyllis Pratt, Venice, Florida, 97 years old. She is absolutely all in every day on the Detroit Tigers. Keep it rolling. And my worst in sports, again, you know, I'm sorry, guys, but I got to go with the Golden State Warriors. We lost, and it hurts us. It hurts us badly. This might be it. I agree with Steve Kerr, who said last night that this team could have won it all if Curry stayed healthy. Now the East, what are we going to get? We're going to get the Knicks or the Pacers? I mean, get out of here. PK's trying to argue that the Knicks could win it all. They have no chance of winning it all. Whoever comes out of the West is winning it all, period. And, I mean, the Thunder aren't looking exactly like unbeatable either, you know? So it's sad. I hope it's not over. I hope we can hold on one more year. Next year when Steph's 38 you know, and Draymond's 36, but it might be over.
Is Draymond coming back?
Well, I mean, they could move him. I think that'd be insane. I heard Unspeakable talking about it earlier today. You know, about the idea that they should move him and then just go find some other gritty guys. Yeah, look, he's one of the best defensive players who's ever played the game. He's one of the best winners and champions ever to play the game. He's also a guy who hurts himself with all the crap. But, I mean, if you take him out, you're ripping your heart out. So I think that would be insane.
Ian Safari, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I think the worst is going to stick a little bit with the NBA. It's just the injuries, you know, between Steph and between Tatum.
Yeah.
It's just
Tatum is awful.
It just kind of takes this, you know, the fun out of it a little bit. Like, at least make it, you know, you don't want to see that. So I'll put that as my
and
worst.
The Cavs have had a bunch.
Yeah, the Cavs had a bunch dealing with stuff. So there's probably a little bit something better, but and then best thing, I'm not big into the conspiracy theory, but the Mavs winning the lottery.
It's hilarious.
It is just ultimate. It's the best. I mean, it's just hilarious the way that brings it on, and you couldn't have scripted it any better. So I'm going to make that as my best, actually.
By the way, speaking of we and us, Mark Cuban's like, oh, we got him. Like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you weren't we wait anymore, Mark Cuban. I
thought you were distancing yourself from this.
I love us again.
You know, if I was still around in charge, we'd have never traded Luka.
Yeah.
Probably not. But you did. There's that. My best thing in sports, I mean, let's just take a look at the TV right now. PGA Championship starting today. Major tournament golf gets Joe Rexroad fired up.
Yeah.
Fired up to watch PGA Championship this weekend.
Tally-ho.
I think Bryson's going to win, but we'll see how it goes. That's my free advice for you.
DeChambeau?
I think DeChambeau gets it done this weekend, but we'll see how it goes. My worst thing in sports, which is also kind of personally hilarious to me, but it is, it sometimes you enjoy watching other people's misery, and other times it's like, man, I just kind of feel bad for you. The collapse that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going through right now is frankly hilarious, but I do kind of feel bad for their fans. Like, you know, I feel bad to a point. A lot of time, you know, the Maple Leafs win one game in the playoffs, and their fans think that they're the greatest gift, God's greatest gift to hockey of all time. So in that way, it's funny. But they were up 2-0 in this series against Florida. They were looking like they were well on their way to move into the Eastern Conference Final. They hadn't won a Stanley Cup since, I think, 1967. And it looked like that, you know, maybe this was the year that the Core Four was finally going to put together. They come out last night in a crucial Game 5 at home with the series tied 2-2. And they just get smoked. 6-1 last night. I would be stunned if they survive in Game 6 down in Florida. I think this puppy is over. And the Core 4 era is going to come to an end because Marner's not re-signing there. And Matthews, has Matthews scored yet in this series? I don't think he has. So that also is not helpful.
My Conn Smythe prediction. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Austin.
You're welcome. It's good stuff. It's
freaking American players. Get him out of Canada.
Gotta watch those. Cam says, best looking good for the Preds to have 3 picks in the first 26 of this year's draft. The worst is the fools that desperately want the NFL to go to a draft lottery system. This is from Cam on the text line.
Well, another one of his best, which I haven't seen yet, is Metallica doing Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech. I can't believe my brother didn't go to this. I got to find that.
I saw some videos. It's pretty cool.
Is it? Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I got someone saying William from Madison is the best Vanderbilt baseball, worst Vitello.
Vanderbilt fans do not like Tony Vitello.
They do not. Someone saying he said the worst support the NBA draft ladder is rigged. I said the worst support is people think that's remotely possible. That would have been a good worst in sports this week. Look at Gover. He said, my worst in sports that Robbie Rexo took my talk about the Milwaukee Admirals text seriously. It was a total joke, but instead it fueled a Robbie. That's fine, Gover. But then you tagged the Admirals and tagged us and did a total Kaharski on Twitter.
Yeah, that was your doing.
Yeah, you get a worst in sports. I knew initially you were kidding, but then you took it too far. The tagging. Even Kaharski doesn't do that anymore.
Does he not?
Well, I don't know. No, he doesn't. He definitely did. When I first got to Nashville, every game day with the Titans, he'd be like, you know, like, at Taylor Lewan just got beat for a sack. And then at Marcus Mariota fumbled. I wonder if at Mike Mularkey is going to get mad about it. Like, dude, you sit here the whole game and just tag. Like, do you think they want to go through their phone after the game and read all the crap you tagged them on? Do you know how to do this? Learn how to use social media. And this is coming from me. Sorry.
I'm just glad he was in the in the stadium covering the game when you made those tweets, because he gets fired up when people are not in the stadium tweeting about
things. There's another one. Yeah. Good stuff.
Are you in London? No, you're not. You better not be tweeting right now if you're not in the stadium.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, speaking of PK, Joe and PK caught up with former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck yesterday. Really interesting conversation on the Titans and the Cam Ward front. We'll get to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game.
And especially my husband.